Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, good morning. Good morning. I'm Brother James Dennis with the Anglican Order of Preachers, and it is a great pleasure to be with you this morning. I'd like to thank your provost for the invitation, and I'd like to thank you for your warm hospitality that you've shown while we're visiting with you. You know, when I was growing up out in West Texas, one of the things my mother used to tell me all the time was, "You are what you eat." She was trying to be wise, trying to convince me to avoid junk food. And so she often repeated, "You are what you eat." This, of course, explains my lifelong aversion to cauliflower and Brussels sprouts and asparagus. You see, I did not want to be cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, and asparagus, and thus I did not eat them. That being said, I have come to believe, as was so often the case, that my mother was right. You are what you eat. Our gospel passage this morning operates as sort of a summary of a fairly long discussion that Jesus began in chapter 6 of John's gospel. It's well worth exploring. If you'll remember, this chapter began with the feeding of the 5,000, one of the signs in John's gospels that reveals the true nature of Jesus. As in the earlier passages, there's a clear comparison and a clear echo of the and contrast to the story of Moses and the manna in the wilderness. We also hear the echo of the story of Moses and the burning bush when God tells Moses, "I am who I am." John's gospel here piles layer of meaning on layer of meaning. But it's worth remembering that for Jesus' audience, bread probably meant something very different than it does to most of us. For most of us, bread is something nice to accompany an otherwise very pleasant meal. We might even shun it if we're watching our carbs, because there's plenty of other good things to eat. But for most of Jesus' audience and most of John's audience, who lived on a subsistence income, they barely made enough to live on for that day. And for them, our daily bread often meant the difference between living and dying. Just as for the 5,000 who came to hear Jesus, or the Hebrews wandering in the desert, bread was the solution to the ever-present problem of hunger. Bread was the solution to the problem of living for one more day. Now remember that Jesus says, "Whoever eats of this bread will live forever." That's a variation on the Greek phrase for eternal life. Too often we hear that, and we think Jesus is talking about going to heaven in the sweet by and by. But I think Jesus understood that phrase very differently. Notice that Jesus says, "Whoever eats this bread has eternal life." As in the Greek, it's in the present tense, not will have it later on. They have it already. So this life is eternal, signifying that it is imbued, that it shares in the life of the divine. And being eternal, that's a characteristic that belongs to the divine. Because we know every created thing fades away. Nothing lasts forever. But this divine life that Jesus is offering is available now, not simply later on, somewhere out there or over there. Jesus was telling his audience, and by that I mean us, that this life is already available to us right here, right now. The sacramental life is not like a mortgage where you wait until the last payment until you get the title. The sacramental life is a sign that God is already waiting for us right here, in this place, right now. But I don't want you to walk away from this passage with the impression that Jesus is talking about some misty, ethereal, spiritual food. As Frederick Buechner has observed, we don't live on bread alone, but we don't live very long without it. Remember, Jesus has just fed lunch to 5,000 people. In part, Jesus is talking about real food in the kingdom that he announces. In his sermon in January of 1980, Archbishop Oscar Romero spoke of the great poverty of most of the people of El Salvador. He said, "There is hunger not because the land has not produced enough food, but because some people have monopolized the fruits of the land, leaving others hungry." Romero knew that in the church, in the effort to announce the kingdom of God and establish the sign of its present reality, we could never restrict the mission of the church to people's spiritual problems and disassociate ourselves from the lives that they live today. If we want to share in the life of Jesus in the kingdom, our concern should be the same things that concerned Jesus. And he was concerned with feeding the hungry, healing the sick, and binding up the brokenhearted. Or, as St. John Chrysostom said, if you can't find Jesus in the beggar at the door, you are never going to find him in the chalice. We cannot tend to the spiritual needs of people and ignore their daily lives. We cannot look after souls and ignore that they are starving. For the same reason, we can't follow the spiritual Jesus and ignore the real man who was born in a stable and died when they hung him on a tree like a scarecrow. Toward the end of this chapter, when the crowd is horrified at Jesus' teaching, he asks his disciples, "Do you want to go away also?" And Peter answers, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of life." Now, Peter was right, or he was, as he almost always was, almost right. Jesus not only has the words of life, he is the word of life. And we are called to feast on that word, on that life, so that we may share in it, because we are, after all, what we eat. This passage focuses us on one of the great mysteries of John's Gospel, the mystery of the Incarnation, the mystery that God came down and walked among us and lived with us and showed us what God's life was like. Unlike the story of the manna in the desert, where God feeds the Jews, God in the person of Jesus has become our food. And Jesus promises that this food is God's invitation to participate in the divine life, not later on, not when we die, but right now. We don't need to and shouldn't wait until the moment of our death to feast on God. It's right here at this table. So take and eat. Amen.